In the name of one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember the very moment you came to know that you would die? I do. It was 1977. I was 10 years old, and it was the summertime in Northern Virginia. Global warming or not, it was as hot and humid then as it would be during the summer I would spend there in Alexandria 30 years later, my middle year of seminary. I remember I was sitting in the bathtub, and I had just had a cast cut off my arm from wrist to above the elbow, skateboarding, downhill, hill, steep, skateboard, cheap. Anyway, summer, and I love to swim, and it would not be a good summer for that, but I love to swim, and somehow I was fascinated by my skin getting all wrinkly and pruned from the lazy days in the pool. And there I sat in the tub, and I remember looking down at my wrist and my forearm, not so fascinated now. They both seemed tiny and crinkled up and weirdly shaped. I remember my arm seeming disembodied from me, and I lifted it up and out of the water, and I put it back down in the water, and the water moved back and forth, and it went back and forth with my breathing, in and out, and then all of a sudden, I had this horrible thought that invaded my kid head, and then it saddened my kid heart. One day, I won't be. One day I won't be, and it will be completely out of my control. And with that, in what seemed like a matter of seconds, my untroubled, happy-go-lucky summer was over. I reached out with my good hand, and I flipped the lever, and I watched the bathtub empty around me. And there was something about my childhood that literally and figuratively went down the drain. The 20th century German theologian Jürgen Moltmann creates a powerful image when he writes of how terrifying it is when we seem to understand just how vulnerable we really are, how easily we are broken, fractured. He writes that we are actually quite inconsequential in the whole of eternity, that the only thing that makes us distinctive from those things that never were is merely however many days that make up the length of our time, that the only thing we really know about life is that if we become, if we are, then a day will come when we cease, when we are not. That's the law. We come from all that is, we return to all that is. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In the season of Lent, we enter into a time of reflection, a time of contrition, of penitence. On Ash Wednesday specifically, we repent. We turn away from all those things that are not of God, that are not God. And at the same time, we gather in community. We remember the body to remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Sin and death, death and sin, they are the shackles that bind us. They are the fetters from which God sets us free in the resurrection of Christ. And today, the church issues an invitation to all of us. The season of Lent is about drawing us into the love of God that is the risen Christ, and about realizing that we are, in fact, everything to God. We are everything to God. The season of Lent is about participating in the disciplines of prayer and piety and letting go of all those things which really only give us a pretense of our worth, in order to come to ourselves, made in God's own image. The season of Lent is about losing ourselves, losing our worldly selves to find our true selves anew. But first, Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday invites us to begin the Lenten season by going toe-to-toe with our own immortality. Looking at our blemishes, our faults, and everything about us that is undesirable face-to-face, eye-to-eye. And you might be asking yourself, why? Why? Why do we do that to ourselves? Why should we brood over sin and death? You might ask yourselves, isn't it enough that I kick myself every day? Isn't it enough that the world is kicking me every day? It's excruciating. It's gloomy. What's the point of sitting around for 40 days with a heart that is broken? I already have a heart that is broken. Well, Clive Staples Lewis, the famous C.S., British theologian, author of the Chronicles of Narnia, best buds with J.R.R. Tolkien, he suggests an answer when he writes of love and vulnerability in The Four Loves. Lewis writes this: "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark and motionless and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Because to love is to be vulnerable." This story of Jesus, it is intended to break our hearts. It's intended to break our hearts, but not in a way that crushes us, not in a way that we feel flayed alive, but in a way as our hearts must break so that they may be filled with the love that is all around us. I believe it is the fear and the trembling at the thought of death, at our death, at any death, that prevents us from living a life that is brimming over with the capacity to give and to forgive, to bestow the identity of beloved community on the other, of embracing the caring and the tenderness that God intends for us to live in this world. We human beings, we are paralyzed with the knowledge of our own limits and our own boundaries. I think the death we fear and the death that we dispense to others in the form of disrespect, disregard, dismissiveness, dishonesty, and other abuses, they hold sway over everything we do, everyone we are, everyone we'll ever be. Our fear of death drives us to attempt to keep death away by accumulating too much stuff. It eats away at our hope for the future. I even wonder if it is our discomfort with death that makes us reluctant to talk about sin, because we just can't figure out a way to separate the two. Perhaps we think if we just don't talk about sin, then we won't have to talk about death. If we don't think about our own moral weakness, then we won't have to think about the weakness of our bodies. Well, whether we talk about them or not, our terrified awareness of sin and death keep us inextricably attached to sin and death. And it prevents us from truly turning our hearts to the love of God that is all around us, this beautiful and wonderful creation full of God's beloved createds. And there's only one answer. There's only one answer. Christ came to break our hearts open, to break all of our hearts open, and to break them open forever. Christ came to die for love. He came to make us dwell in love. And if you're here with us for the first day, we're Episcopalians, we're Anglicans. And we believe that our beautiful creation is so permeated with the love of God, and that we are so knit together with Jesus, that the will, the Spirit, our will, it can be transformed. It can be transformed through patient Christian practice and piety, through prayer, through the reading of Scripture, through the Holy Eucharist, through being God's hands and feet in a hurting, hurting world. But for practice and piety to not remain a dangerously ineffectual outward carnival show, we must also go deep and allow the reality of sin and death to break our hearts open. If in facing the inevitability of our death, our hearts have been broken open, God can seep into them. God can ooze into them. God can shine into them, shine that love acting on our minds through faith and quietly bending our wills through grace until we are filled to overflowing with the hope that allows us, like Jesus, to actually be love ourselves. By letting our hearts be broken, we open ourselves to God, to the life, and to the rest of creation. This Lent, are you willing to listen to a story that will break your heart? Are you willing to look mortality square in the eye, to confess the depth of our sin and our need to repent, and then to watch faithfully as God's own heart is broken in the passion of Jesus? It is a story that will break our hearts. Are you ready?